at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A third Boy Scout from East Texas has died from injuries he suffered when a sailboat struck an overhanging power line. The 11-year-old was sailing in a catamaran Saturday with two older Boy Scouts. The boat hit a power line at Lake of the Pines, about 150 miles east of Dallas. The scout leader reached the boat within minutes, but the two older boys were already dead. It's not clear why the power line was overhanging the water or why it was so close to passing watercraft. A funeral will be held Wednesday in Houston for former Texas Governor Mark White. He will then lie in state Thursday afternoon at the Texas Capitol in Austin. White, a Democrat, served as governor from 1983 until 1987. His education reforms included pay raises and competency tests for teachers, bilingual education, and class size limits for elementary schools. In 1984, he signed the No Pass, No Play law, which barred students from participating in school sports or other extracurriculars if they were failing a class. In an interview back in 2014, White said he tried to model his education platform on what his mother, a former first grade teacher, said she experienced in the classroom.
We tried to make it work for the first grade teacher. If you do their job right in the first grade, you'll never have to teach them their alphabet again. You'll never have to teach them how to read again. Never have to teach them how to spell again.
White fought kidney cancer for years. He died Saturday. He was 77. Ah, a sure sign that it's summer in Texas, the sound of cicadas. Wizzy Brown is an insect specialist with the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Office. She talked with Public Radio's Texas Standard about basically anything you ever wanted to know about the cicada and the noisy summertime tradition.
The majority of a cicada life cycle is actually underground. They are going to be laid as eggs in branches of a tree, and when they hatch out, they drop to the ground. They will burrow down in, and they're actually feeding on the tree roots. They'll feed on the sap. The trees are going to be perfectly fine. This has been happening for many, many years, and the trees are just fine. It's not going to be a problem. So when the cicadas have matured, they will crawl out of the ground and up surfaces. And a lot of times you'll see them on tree trunks, on fences, on the side of the house, just wherever. And you'll see that exuvi, which is the cast skin or skeleton of that last nymphal instar. I know my son loves collecting them at this time of year, and there's usually piles of them in the house or in his pockets that I find in the washing machine. And the adults will merge out of that, and they will find a mate and start the cycle all over again. The adults are going to be fairly short-lived. They'll live for a couple of weeks, and they are going to use their song to attract mates. They'll also use it for other purposes as well. But the male is the one that is doing the majority of the noise-making that, depending on how you feel about it, some people think that it's an amazing, beautiful sound and they'll just go outside to listen to the cicadas. And then there are other people that are trying to close the window and shut the sound out. But they're fairly short period of time that they're here. They're only going to be around usually in July, August is when we typically have them. Along with the cicadas, there will be cicada killer wasps that will also be seen flying low over the ground. These are very large wasps, and they will sting the cicadas and paralyze them, and that's what they feed their young. So those two are insects that go hand in hand.
That was Wizzy Brown, an insect specialist with the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Office. And in his first 6 months in office, President Trump has fired multiple staffers. He's fought with Congress over the repeal of Obamacare, and he's a target of a special investigation into ties with Russia. While it may seem like the president isn't making much legislative progress, David Graham argues that behind all the chaos is a shadow government that's achieving his priorities. Today on St. Chris Boyd talked with the Atlantic staff writer about how the Trump administration is getting a lot more done than people may think.
You sometimes hear about the idea of a shadow government as a nefarious conspiracy in countries that it's really running things while there's a fake government, a sort of sham government. And in this case, they're actually the same thing. The White House is quite chaotic. But what you see is a lot of the cabinet secretaries getting things done. They are changing regulations. They're changing rules. They're reworking things in a way that doesn't get the same kind of attention, partly because, you know, regulation isn't as sexy as firing a communications director. And Ben Carson, in a recent interview, said that, you know, he was grateful that Housing and Urban Development was able to do things because, quote, Trump is drawing all the fires so I can get stuff done. So, you know, these folks in the administration understand the dynamic that's going on, too.
This episode of Think rears tonight at 10. You can find a link to David Graham's article from The Atlantic and subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Country music is all about heartbreak and loss, and no one country musician might know both of these topics better than 62-year-old singer-songwriter Steve Earle. He's battled drug addiction, lost several close friends, and he's been divorced six times. Martin Sieg's Hadi Bawandi talked with Earle about his newest album, which was inspired by his outlaw country roots.
Singer-songwriter Steve Earle has always had a renegade spirit. Legend has it that Earle ran away from home when he was 14 years old.
So you wanna be an outlaw, but take it from me. Slipping on the highway ain't everything's supposed to be. Everybody reckons that they wanna be free. Ain't nobody wants to be alone.
He wanted to be a musician, so he decided to follow an idol, Townes Van Zandt, as he toured across Texas. At 16, he dropped out of high school. And by 19, he abandoned Texas for Nashville.
I thought about staying here because there was a lot going on, you know. Doug Somm was here and Willie was here and they were playing Armadillo World Headquarters. And all of a sudden, Texas was pretty exciting. But, you know, Austin was too, weather too good, girls too pretty, dope too cheap. I knew I would never get anything done in a place like that.
There wasn't a better place than Nashville for a country music apprenticeship. And 1974 couldn't have been a better time. Guy Clark and Van Zandt had just arrived in town, and they performed poetic, often courageously sad songs. Waylon Jennings was there, too. He'd branded himself an outlaw and was creating a whole new genre. Earle wrote and performed with all of them, and he learned songwriting.
The job's about empathy. People don't really care about the bad stuff that happens to you. They care about the bad stuff that happens to you that they can relate to.
So that's what he wrote. His first album was Guitar Town. It featured autobiographical tales and simple stories of people living in hard times. Sonically, it straddled a line between country and rock. Now, 31 years later, Earle's new album harkens back to Guitar Town and the albums that influenced him. Albums like Willie Nelson's Phases and Stages and Jennings' Honky Tonk Heroes.
It's a country record, but it's a very electric country record.
The album's called So You Wanna Be an Outlaw. And the sound of Jennings' signature Telecaster is an audible touchstone throughout. And Earle admits that's because he's been revisiting Jennings' music.
I think I sort of unapologetically kind of surrendered to channeling Waylon Jennings as much as I could on this record.
The record kicks off with a handful of raucous songs about the outlaw lifestyle.
Hear my mama cool.
But the second half of the album is more subtle. There's more acoustic guitar and songs about love loss. There's even a song for a mentor, the late Guy Clark. So You Wanna Be an Outlaw is an ode to a style of music that many thought was gone. But Earle says there are a few still keeping the tradition alive.
Right now, I think the women that managed to get on country radio are doing the most exciting things that are happening in Nashville, as far as I can tell.
Songwriters like Kacey Musgraves, Miranda Lambert, and Chris Stapleton are the sorts of folks that Earle believes will be the next generation of outlaws to carry on his renegade spirit. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.